conceived by Sam Robertson.
Before the sun's even discharged a single slender ray of golden light over the sleepy houses to the east this morning, Sam's watery, bloodshot eyes reflect a small round version of the blue light his computer's glowing rectangular screen emits. A towering stack of pamphlets waits eagerly by his side, like a loyal Labrador waiting for her owner to open the gate on her rusty hunting truck so she can hop in the back and get driven to the woodlands upstate, where, when she's lucky, she gets to sometimes retrieve all the dead ducks in her mouth that her owner shoots out of the sky with her firearm. Much like a peacock, though, these pamphlets are impactful and highly specialized. They're also very proud and confident, and very handsome. They were folded in thirds, exactly how Shelley over at the print shop had said was her favorite way to do them. And man, boy had she ever nailed the design, just nailed it. Shelley's pamphlets could be made into an exhibit at any of the oldest, most esteemed art museums in Europe, and people would fly in from across the world on airplanes to attend. And this one here that she made for Sam, this one would be the main attraction. It's a really, really good pamphlet.
Pick up.
Hello?
Hey, Cody, is now a good time to talk?
What? No. What time is it?
It's almost 5.
Sam, I'm sleeping.
Oh, sorry. I get up early and forget that other people sleep later.
Well, what do you want?
I just wanted to kind of check in with you before I go out on a new advertising mission.
Okay, well, let me get some coffee on and some pants on. You can start filling me in. I just put you on speaker so I can set my phone down and use both my hands to button on my fly and stuff.
Okay, that's fine. That makes sense. Thanks for helping me talk through this. So, I'm going to go try to go out pamphleting all day today. I've been at the computer since 3 this morning looking at maps and crunching numbers, and
You've been up since 3?
Yeah, but I went to bed at 8, so I still got 7 hours of sleep, so don't worry. Anyway, so I think I came up with the most efficient circuit possible for getting to 50 churches and synagogues in the city in one big loop. I had to pick Sunday, so everyone will be at churches and synagogues.
Actually, I think people go to synagogue on Saturdays.
Oh, shoot. Dang it. Well, maybe there's still like some rabbis inside them?
Sam, I don't know.
Okay, well, I'll try anyway. But what do you think of my plan?
To be honest, I think you're onto something big here. And if a church service is going on, I think you can politely interrupt the priest to check if it's okay to take the mic for a minute and talk. Talk about your book, since I'm sure it relates to whatever they're talking about anyway. And then you'll have a captive audience, eager to learn about your book.
That's a great idea, Cody. Very cool.
How are sales going?
Well, about 10 books got sold in the past few days, so something's working. I think it's all the advertising. Could be the yard signs or the business cards, or maybe it's the ad at the DMV.
That's great. Yeah. Probably it's a combination of all those approaches. You got the right idea by trying a bunch of new methods out. Because in sales, what you want most is for your product to begin to advertise itself through word of mouth. It's easy for one advertising campaign to become just a drop in the bucket for people and to forget it ever happened. But what you want is for happy customers to tell their family. Tell their family about the book at home, around the supper table, and when they're out having fun, you know, shooting hoops in the driveway. Then it spreads around organically. Things can really begin to snowball when they reach a certain level of awareness on a big enough scale.
That makes sense. It's a great goal. You know, hopefully that's starting to happen.
And you want people to be discussing your product with their work friends when they're supposed to be working. That phenomenon is called time theft, where people are on the clock, supposed to be making money for their company, and they do other things that make them happier and more fulfilled. It could be as simple as just sitting there, staring at your computer screen, pretending to work, but actually you're doing nothing productive. Or it could be something as elaborate as working on a novel when you're clocked in. Some people, when they're working from home, can even squeeze in a nap with their phones on their chest that will wake them up if their boss calls. It's pretty cool.
That does sound pretty cool. Something to think about, you know, if this doesn't work out and I have to get a job with a big corporation.
Sam, you can't think like that. You're a salesman now. And if you start entertaining thoughts of failure, that's what you'll become. a failure.
You're right. No, I don't actually want a job at a corporation, even though you were making it sound pretty nice. No need to steal time, though, if it's all yours in the first place, right?
That's right.
Sorry, one second. I'm just going to print this map out so I can get out of here pretty soon. My plan was to catch the sunrise.
Okay, great. Now, if you find a priest or a rabbi, or even just a humble church patron, engage in some small talk, you know, before you drop off a stack of pamphlets, because this is a great opportunity to increase your sales per point of distribution. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's not just about points of distribution. It's about sales per points of distribution. SPPOD. Each church could potentially buy many, many copies. Whereas normally, people buy one or two.
It's a really good idea.
Yeah, so be really thoughtful here. Because churches might potentially want piles and piles of your book. Lots of churches have libraries as well.
That's a great point.
And remember, turn the conversation to them and their needs, so you can cater to them. You could say something like, do you have a youth program? Kids these days don't want to read their Bibles, but my modern illustrated version could change that. It's highly relevant to what kids want and can't get enough of.
Yeah.
Yeah, or see if they have a favorite religious artist, or draw some comparisons between your styles.
Okay, sure. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think I got this.
Yeah, you do.
All right, I'm grabbing my pamphlets here and I'm going to go do this. The map's done printing.
Yeah, let me know how it goes today. I'll send you an invoice.
Okay, cool. Wow, the sunrise is beautiful, Cody. You should check it out.
Okay, one second. Wow, look at those clouds.
Looks like the sky is molten lava.
Okay, bye.
Cody, always be closing.
Sam got to the first 20 churches, no problem. It was super smooth. If he was able to find a priest or a rabbi or even at least a church patron, regular or otherwise, he'd engage in some small talk for a little bit and leave a little stack of pamphlets with them. Most people seemed interested. There was a good chance some would be contacting Sam shortly, probably right after church when they didn't have to be quiet anymore. He even thought to bundle the small stacks of pamphlets up with some nice ribbon to make the presentation more impactful. If no one was around, he'd leave them in a strategic location to be easily discovered. If he could get into the church, but no one was there, he'd leave them on the altar so the priest would find them right away. Most priests ended up not actually wanting Sam to take the mic from them during their sermons, but that's okay. Now, en route to the 21st church on his circuit, here's Sam, looking full of energy and truly happy and filled with purpose on his bicycle. His tie flitters in the wind. His briefcase nests gingerly in his basket. The basket actually looks like it's caressing his briefcase with real love. Inside the briefcase, the three battery-powered tea light candles flicker mechanically against Sam's Old Testament, crudely imitating the spontaneity of a real flame. His helmet is on solid, embracing his head. The straps are tight under his chin, like how they're supposed to be. Lots of people wear that part too loose. What's the point of even wearing a helmet if it's not on tight? If it's not snug, it would just fall off when you really needed it, and your head would be in a lot of trouble. Anyway, things are good for Sam right now. He doesn't have a single problem in the world. Here he is.
Oh, crud!
Oh, no. Sam's front bike tire just popped. He gets off the bike, jittery from the scare, and goes to look for a shady place to try and patch it up, out of the direct, unforgiving heat of the sun. He didn't reapply sunblock after this morning, so he really doesn't want to get a sunburn. But he's not having much luck finding a spot since the sun is directly overhead, making it so that there's almost no shadows anywhere. That's because it's high noon. But against a chain-link fence, Sam sneaks a little shade from under the overhanging branches of a big bur oak that lives on the other side of the fence. Its bark grows around the fence in places, swallowing it up, giving the impression that the tree only looks solid, but it's being tricky. That actually, it's a deceptive, tall, slow-moving liquid or something. It also looks like there's a blanket on the ground, but when you look close, it's actually just a ton of cute bur oak acorns, the ones that look like featureless heads wearing fuzzy Siberian hats. He rests his bike up against the fence and opens his backpack. He gets out his patch kit, tire levers, and bike pump. Then, he looks over at the huge industrial building sitting over there like an ancient ruin behind the fence, hiding the secret mysteries of weird, earlier humans who practice scary rituals. What is in that building? Sam's been past it before. It looks super familiar. And what are these little bits of paper scattered all over the lawn blowing in the wind?
Why does it smell so good?
Sam bends over and picks up one of the scraps. He's not very flexible, so he has to bend at the knees a lot. He's not even close to being able to touch his toes. The strip of paper's got words printed on it.
A lifetime friend shall soon be made. What in the world?
Sam picks up another, and another, and another as the wind is becoming like a constant sneeze on his face.
A golden egg of opportunity falls into your lap this month. Success is going from failure to failure without the loss of enthusiasm. Good news will be brought to you by mail.
Oh, this must be a fortune cookie factory. Wait, what's this one say?
You're going to have some new clothes.
I thought I told you to get out of town, Sam.
Colton, what's your problem?
I'll give you one, I guess. I mean, I'll give you one guess.
Well, my guess is that I'm your problem.
Bingo. Oh, and hey, Sam.
Yeah?
Never mind.
Oh, okay. But hey, Colton, guess what?
What?
I realize why the quote on your business card looks so familiar.
Oh yeah, why's that?
That's one of the passages from the Old Testament that I illustrated in my book.
Oh yeah? Is that right?
Yeah, it's crazy. You want to see it in my book?
Well yeah, actually, let me see it. I don't believe you.
Okay, yeah, let me get my book out. 1 second. Okay, here. Let me open it up to the page. Okay, here, check this out.
Oh, wow. Yeah, thanks. Look at this. Well, now I can rip this book off.
No! Colton, stop! Stop. That's my special book. It's number 150. It's a display copy people can flip through. Stop! No! No, this copy's special, Colton. No!
Oh, sorry. Did I give your little special book a little boo-boo?
Yeah. Yeah, you did give my special little book a boo-boo.
And it looks like you got a flat tire there.
Yeah, that's right.
Today just isn't your day. Still biking, huh? So I guess your truck hasn't turned up yet?
Nope, not yet.
You know what I think?
What?
If I had to guess, I'd say it's swimming with the fishies.
Oh, yeah? Why'd you guess that?
Oh, just a hunch.
Oh, yeah? Just a hunch, huh?
Yep, just a hunch.
Well, sounds like you have a little inside information. Like, maybe it was you who stole it?
Whoa, you should probably go to detective school with a brain like that. You know what I want to do, Sam?
What's that?
I beat you up.
I don't want to fight.
Well, I gave you a chance to get out of town, Sam. So technically, it's you who started this fight we're about to have by not getting lost.
It's not your town, Colton. It's everyone's town who wants to be here. I thought we could collaborate. You know the phrase, a rising tide lifts all boats, right?
Yeah, of course I know that phrase. But this rising tide won't lift your boat. No. I sank your boat.
That was a truck, Smarty Pants. The saying's not, a rising tide lifts all trucks for a reason. They're not made to float in the first place.
Well, sounds like you're the Smarty Pants here. No one likes a Smarty Pants. Hey, you know what time it is, Sam?
Yeah, it's 12:02.
Oh, that's funny. My watch has a different time. My watch says, what does it say? It says, oh, it's time that I beat you up.
Oh, I see. Well, if that's how it's going to be, do you know what time it is, Colton?
What time?
I think it's about time I call the cops.
Yeah, good luck with that. They'll never believe you.
We'll see about that.
Well, that's a lot of numbers for dialing 911.
Yeah, well, maybe I'm not calling 911, Colton. Yeah, hey, Brink.
What do you want, Sam?
I'm standing here with the guy who stole my truck.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, come and meet us at the Fortune Cookie Factory.
I'm busy. Bring him to the station yourself.
You know I'm on a bike and I can't do that. I'd have to get him to agree to sit in my lap and And we'd for sure crash if we tried that. And I have a flat tire too. Look, he even just said he was the one who did it even. He just confessed. Come on, Brink. Just come on down here quick.
I don't believe you. You probably don't have any confession recorded, do you?
Well, no, but this is the guy. He said it himself. You've got to bring him in for questioning. He's threatening me. He wants to fight me. Just please get over here. Please. Ah, he just spit on me. Come on. Officer, get over here.
Nope. I'm pretty busy. But hey, why don't you just put it on speakerphone so we can talk it out?
Okay. Hold on. Okay. There, it's on speakerphone.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. How's it going, Brink?
Oh, hey, Colton. Good to hear your voice. Not too bad today. Just chilling with some of the boys at the precinct. Murphy brought in some goodies he won at the meat raffles. Said I got first dibs.
Wait, you guys know each other? What's going on?
Oh, for sure. We've gone to the same church for a decade. Our wives even run the bingo league together.
Officer, you better excuse yourself from the case. Put your boss on the phone right now, please. Somebody without a blatant conflict of interest.
No way. I'm the man on this case. I'm not a quitter, Sam.
There's so much evidence in that truck. Those books and business cards probably got your fingerprints all over them, Colton. And the brick on the gas pedal? You're going down, down, down. You're going to get arrested, Colton. You're so guilty.
I don't believe you, Sam. Colton is one of the most respected members of the community here. And who do you think you are? Any guesses? That's right. You're a nobody, selling a bad version of the Bible that no one wants. Now listen careful, Sam. I suggest you drop it. Forget anything ever happened, because the way I see it, and the way everyone else will too, is that you're trying to set up Colton for a crime that you committed. So if you don't shut up, you'll be found guilty, and you'll be locked up. And I will swallow the key myself.
Oh, well, that won't feel good coming out the other end.
Oh, whatever. It'll be worth it. Hey, Colton?
Yeah, Brink?
Did you get us a tea time for Tamarack Meadows? We have to do our part to save the golf course from those monsters trying to turn it into a wildlife sanctuary.
You bet I did. I'll see you there tonight at 5. We should get a golf cart, so we don't have to walk a million miles this time.
Ooh, perfect.
I've got some leftover casserole Shauna made so we can snack on between holes. I know you like it.
See you there.
And I'll bring my tray of famous deviled eggs.
I want one now. It's gonna be so hard to wait for tonight to get my hands on those little suckers. I'm gonna eat a whole dozen of them while we're golfing. Oh, yeah, Sam. If you know what's good for you, you better stop accusing Mr. Caldwell Boone here of this heinous crime. Case closed.
Well, there you have it, Sam. Case closed. Officer Brink said it himself. You're the guilty one. And even if you go to the precinct and try to complain, you probably won't be coming back out.
You and your cop friend think you're above the law. Just get out of here, Colton. Just let me fix my flat tire and get on with my life.
Okay, see you later. Oh, and Sam?
Yeah?
I hate you.
Okay, fine, whatever.
Right now, a frenzied, abstracted tornado is blasting around in Sam's brain, swirling up all the dust of all the memories of all the times cops have treated him or his friends bad. And Sam has never been much of a storm chaser, so he tries to calm his inner cyclone by putting all his focus into his breath and into taking the tire and inner tube off of his wheel and assessing the damage. Yep, his inner tube totally exploded somehow. Nothing to even patch. It's pretty much sliced in half like a club sandwich or a hummus wrap. Hold the tomatoes. He reaches into his backpack for his spare inner tube, but wait, what is he bringing out of there instead? That's not an inner tube. What is that? Oh, he grabbed his diary. He can replace his tube in a minute, but yeah, judging by how stressed out he looks, riding a little bit is way more important right now. So it's a good thing he grabbed that on accident. Sam's diary is always there to listen, no matter what, through thick and thin.
Dear diary, bad, bad news today. I'm having a panic attack almost. It's not fair at all. Colton and Officer Brink are in cahoots. My truck and all my tools are gone forever. For sure, all my power tools are destroyed from water damage, but I can't even go to the station to try to get my rusty hand tools back because they'll arrest me on sight. Because even though they know that Colton was the one who sank my truck in the ravine, they're friends, and they're sticking together and lying, saying, I staged it all to get insurance money. They go to the same church and they golf together and their wives run the bingo league together and make casseroles. I feel like an outlaw. Even if I wanted to play bingo at their church, which I don't want to do, I'd probably get arrested there too. I don't know where to turn. So I can't make any money with trade work anymore, with no truck and no tools. I can't exactly just bike over to a bathroom remodel and say to the homeowner, I'm here, sorry, but do you mind if I borrow your tools and your vehicle for this project? So I have to think and think quick. What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? Okay. Well, I think the answer is clear. I have to make being a salesman work. I've got to be done with trade work forever. I'm no longer a tradesman. I'm shedding that label, like how a tarantula sheds its exoskeleton and then eats it sometimes. From now on, I'm a full-time salesman.
Sam writes one word super legibly and confident in all caps on a piece of paper near the back of his diary. That word is tradesman. He then eats that piece of paper poetically after ripping it out. But unlike how a spooky spider does it when she eats her own old skin after it molts it off so it can metabolize the proteins and polysaccharides within it, Sam didn't get any nutrients or anything from the paper. But he did get some closure from that small ceremony, which you can't put a price on or find on the nutrition facts label.
Okay, diary, I'm back. I just had to go pee on this tree. Sorry about that. With that decision out of the way, I still have 30 churches to drop off pamphlets at today, so I've got to be speedy. I got a flat tire outside the fortune cookie factory, but I had a spare tube, so that's good. I just have to pump it up now. You know what I was thinking about, diary? I was thinking about what Doug Knuckles was saying about how being a salesman is kind of like fishing, how you're just out there in the world hoping for bites in the strange material you can't see into. In the case of fishing, that material is water. In the case of sales, that material is the hardened exterior people present you with when you meet them. You have no idea who they are under that exterior you see. You have to wade into that greasy substance and get out of your own head to try to see them for who they really are. You have to think like a fish when you're fishing, and you have to think like impatient, jaded people when you're trying to sell them stuff. It's like a blend of empathy and manipulation. It walks the line of being a sociopath, actually, both in fishing and in sales. Maybe not so much in fishing, actually, but I'll look that up later if I remember. It's weird, though. Wanting to convince people to trade their money that they themselves traded some chunk of their life in to earn for my product. I can't quite get over that. While yes, I do believe in my book, I don't really know how to feel about it all. What else? I guess that's about it for now. Okay, diary, even though I still want to cry really bad, this helped neutralize my panic attack. We'll see what happens after the rest of these churches. Actually, first, I think I should call my sales guru, Cody Maloney, and update him. See what he thinks. Thanks, diary. You're always there to save the day.
Hi, Sam.
Hey, Cody, it's me, Sam.
Oh, hi, Sam. How you doing? How's sales?
Well, I'm doing okay.
Great.
I'm not doing that great, actually.
Oh, what's the matter?
I forget. Did I ever tell you that my truck got stolen?
I don't think so.
Yeah, well, this other Bible salesman saw me as competition, and he stole my truck and sank it in the river on purpose.
Yeah, that goes to show you want to be careful about overlapping sales zones with other salesmen. They can be territorial. I'm sorry to hear that, although it could have been avoided if you had done some better market research.
Well, I didn't know Bibles would be something people would be territorial about. I've heard that street musicians and real beard mall Santas can be super territorial, but I guess I figured it'd be fine selling my Old Testament.
Well, that's a big assumption right there, and I guess you learned your lesson the hard way.
Hey, Cody, what's going on? The wounds are still fresh here. We don't need to talk about lessons to learn from this yet. I know it can be a learning experience, but do you think we could talk about that kind of stuff a bit later?
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Cody, is everything okay? You're seeming kind of checked out a little, or like kind of mean or something. Like, what's going on with you?
Sorry. Yeah, it's just, well, something happened, and can I tell you something, Sam?
Yeah, Cody, of course.
My woman left me.
Oh, Cody, jeez, that's hard. That's never easy. I'm sorry to hear that. You want to talk about it at all, or do you just want to let that feeling wash over you and just go away?
I don't know, Sam.
That's fine. Well, I'm here if you do want to talk or something. Like, I mean, you've listened to me so much. I'd love to return the favor. It might feel good to talk it out.
Yeah, maybe you're right. But it's just kind of embarrassing. I just lost tens of thousands of dollars on NFTs on a crypto called Frogcoin.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah, that's why she left me. All of our savings is gone.
I'm sorry, Cody.
Yeah, man. Thanks. I lost her, and I don't think she's ever coming back. I went all in on this investment.
What is Frogcoin even? I never heard of it.
You've never heard of... Do you live under a rock, Sam?
Well...
Frogcoin, it seems like a good point of entry, a launch pad, so to speak, a lily pad, if you will, for more serious cryptos and non-fungible tokens. There comes a point where you decide if you're going to jump in the muck, take a dive in the tepid pond, or you just want to stay on dry land. When my children are older, if I have them, what do you think is going to give them the edge in life? I'm talking generational wealth here. Do you think they want U.S. dollars, or do you think they want frog tokens? My money, my coins are on Frogcoin.
Wow, that's crazy. I don't know anything about computer money, but it sounds like you really believed in it. Will it come back?
My wife?
No, well, her too, but I'm talking about the value of Frogcoin.
I think that if Frogcoin hops back out of its rut, Jody might be coming to hopping back too.
Well, I sure hope so, Cody. That sounds rough.
Yeah, I love her. It was an arranged marriage.
It really sounds like you love her.
Hey, Sam?
Yeah?
You think maybe I could call you sometimes? I mean, just to talk about this sort of thing.
Yeah, sure, I guess. I don't see why not.
I just realized I don't have anyone to talk to about any of this stuff. I mean, I do all the talking. I help people with their problems all day long, but I don't have anyone to talk about my problems with.
That makes a ton of sense. You're going through a lot right now. You should talk it out. That's healthy.
And you seem like a really good listener. Maybe you could charge me the same rate that I charge you.
Okay, cool. I like that idea. Maybe we split our phone calls up 50-50. Like, I talk a bit about what problems I'm having, and you talk a bit then about what problems you're having, and then since we're charging the same amount, it kind of cancels each other out.
That sounds good to me.
Cool.
Do you take Frogcoin?
Yeah.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, Cody. I'm happy I can help a little bit after all you've done for me.
Well, let's get back to you for a minute. So this other Bible salesman sank your truck in the water?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me put you on speakerphone for a minute. I've got to tie my shoes.
Okay. No problem.
Okay, there. But anyway, the other Bible salesman sank my truck in a ravine. It's a big setback. And to make matters worse, that guy who did it is best friends with the officer that was on the case. So he won't get in trouble at all. I'm out a truck and all my tools. And he said, if I try any more to solve the crime myself, they'll arrest me.
No good.
Yeah, no good. But I've moved on, I think. I'm better now. I'm really optimistic, actually. I'm about to finish my pamphleting loop at all the churches like I was telling you about this morning. I feel like I'm kind of just blowing around on the wind currents from all these great people's promo ideas. Like I'm following a path that's being set out in front of me in real time. And
well,
like,
it sounds like you're figuring out a lot. But Sam, do you want some advice?
Yeah, sure. What do you got?
Well, first, I think if you're truly committed to being a salesman, you need to have a more complete roadmap. Think of it as an atlas. Like, as if you were on a cross-country road trip. Because you know where you're going. You want to sell 100,000 copies of your book. You want to sell a copy to the Pope himself. And you want the Vatican to buy all the original paintings for $1 million, right?
That's right.
Okay, but Sam, how are you going to get there? That's what you need to figure out.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Expansion needs to be on the front of your mind. Every step, every action you take should be aimed towards endless growth. I have a motto cross-stitched on a placard right here on my desk that I look at first thing every morning before I leave for the day. And it reads, expand, 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 expand. It says it 10 times. You have to be honest with yourself, Sam. Do you want to get to the stars? Or do you want to just stay put here on the ground, just barely squeaking by?
Yeah, I do want to reach for the stars. Of course I do. I'm out of options. I don't even have any tools anymore for doing trade work. Like I said, all I have left is to give this salesman thing a real shot, because if I don't make it work by the end of the month, if I don't make it work, rent will be due and I'll need to get a desk job. I wouldn't make it a 1 week in that world. I would die.
Sam, get a grip. You're not going to die. There's always time theft if you have to go that route, remember?
Oh, yeah.
But Sam, I was going pee-pee at a fancy restaurant, and I was looking at the advertisement above the urinal, and first of all, I think you should advertise there, in all those bathrooms, you know, like at the bars and everywhere where they have the clear glass case above the wall, so you have to look at the advertisement when you're going potty, but more importantly...
That's a really good idea.
But more importantly, the advertisement I was looking at was about a competition.
Oh, yeah? What kind of competition?
The person who has the greatest new product gets to have dinner with both the mayor and the governor, and then they get to use their political platforms to help sell your product.
Wait, seriously? A meal with both of them at the same time, or two separate meals?
That part wasn't clear, but yeah, I'm dead serious. It's part of a statewide effort to boost the economy through innovative entrepreneurship. The next recession could start any day. Some say it's already even started.
If I were to win that and befriend those politicians, the reverberations from that would be...
Yeah, Sam, you get it.
For starters, maybe they could help keep me from getting arrested because Colton and Brink have it out for me.
Yeah, probably. Maybe with their help, you could instead get the policeman and the Bible salesman arrested and put in jail where they'd swallow the key because they're so mean.
Yeah, maybe, but I'd rather they join my sales team or something. I'd rather be their friend than to have them go to jail.
Well, that's up to you.
Yeah, I prefer them to stay out of jail, but come to my side.
Okay, whatever.
But second, if I had that platform, if I could dip into politics a little bit, millions of people would know about my book. I could leave business cards everywhere if I was the mayor.
What are you talking about?
Well, if I got the mayor's job when he resigns, that would be awesome. I could hand out business cards for AmericasBible.com to everyone and get tons of publicity.
Yeah, I don't quite know if you're being rational, Sam. I don't think he'll resign in any way. I don't think that's how it works. You can't just become mayor like that.
Isn't it all about posturing, Cody? I just have to be in the right place for when it happens.
Anyway, if you do enter this competition and win, you'll have full attention of two of the most influential people around. Because at some point, you either need to go big or just go to bed. And a lot of people do choose to just go to bed. They'll spend all day in bed, and that's fine. But you have to make the choice for yourself. You have to decide what kind of person you are. Are you going to go to sleep all day?
No way.
Good.
I'm going to enter this contest. Where's that bathroom at so I can go write down the information on the advertisement?
Don't worry. I wrote it down. What's your email address? I'll send you the info.
Awesome. Thanks. It's sam@americasbible.com. No apostrophe.
Perfect.
Okay, great. Thanks for this pep talk.
You got this. Thanks for helping me out, too. I timed it. You help me with my problems for 25% of the time, so that cancels out with the 25% of my time, so you'll only owe me for 50% of this phone call. You do the math.
Okay, Cody. I'll crunch some numbers and get you the payment. Cody? He hung up.
I heard all of that, Sam.
Colton! What are you doing here? You scared the heck out of me. I saw you leave.
Tiptoed back around and hid right here behind this trunk of this tree.
Wow, why did you do that? And so what if you heard our phone call? It wasn't an embarrassing conversation or anything. At least I don't think it was.
Gonna beat you, Sam. I'm gonna enter that competition and beat you.
How? You can't win best new product with a Bible that's been around since the 70s. I'd like to see you try.
Think I'm stupid? Oh, I've got something else in mind. I've created a new product that would destroy your silly Bible in any competition.
Oh yeah, what's that?
You really want to know?
Yeah, please tell me.
Okay, come close. I'll whisper it to you. I don't want anyone else to hear.
Okay, what is it?
Colton!
Yuck!
You thought I was actually going to tell you?
I seriously don't get it, Colton. It doesn't make any sense. None of this makes any sense. Are you this mean to everyone? Isn't it enough that you got away with sinking my truck? Quit trying to ruin my life. I don't get it.
You still don't remember, do you?
Remember what?
Can't believe it. You're still as blind as you ever were. Let me take out these blue contact lenses. Maybe then you'll get it.
Wait a second. Your eye color isn't actually blue. It's hazel? Oh, you're kidding me. Are you actually Hazel Jenkins?
I haven't heard that name in a long time.
I thought there was something familiar about you, but you look so different with your head and your eyebrows shaved. You used to have such long curly hair.
You ruined my life, Sam.
What are you talking about?
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
No, I don't.
I'll give you one guess.
Are you still upset about Daisy?
You stole her from me.
Colton! Or Hazel, I mean. It was over between you two. You know it was.
No, it wasn't. I was gonna marry her.
No, you weren't. Daisy certainly didn't think so. She was so mad at you. What did you do to her, even? She wouldn't even ever tell me.
It's a long story, but I found her bank account information on her desk, and I tried to do her a big favor by buying stock in a business that was just booming. It was a donut franchise with the best donuts ever. It was called Do It or Donut. You remember them?
Of course I remember them.
Yeah, they were huge. And I had some insider information. I didn't think they could fail. I thought I'd invest $5,000 of her dollars and make her a ton of money for her birthday.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The day after I bought her the stock, the recession got so much worse. No one was buying donuts anymore. No one could afford to. And Do It or Donut went belly up.
I'm so sorry, Colton. I didn't know. That's really hard.
She got so mad at me. But my heart was in the right place, and I was gonna win her back until you came along. You stole her from me!
So you've just been harboring this anger at me for 15 years?
That's right!
Oh, man. Why'd you change your name?
I was done being Hazel after Daisy left me. I felt so ashamed. Then driving around one day, I saw a billboard advertising blue contact lenses, and I never looked back. I drove straight to the nearest store, bought the lenses, bought a razor, shaved off my hair right there in the sink in that drugstore, and popped in my new contact lenses, and I walked out of that store as Colton. Didn't even clean up all my curly locks of hair from the sink. And I left my eyebrow hair in there, too.
Wow, that's gross.
Then I went to the courthouse and I changed my name. And I started my new life. Tried to move on.
Incredible.
But I was never able to. And then for some reason, that can only be fate, you knocked on my door with your stupid Bible. I mean, what are the chances? How is it even possible? Stirred up all those feelings I got that I've been trying so hard to suppress. You took my true love, Sam, and I'm gonna get my revenge.
Ah, haven't you already gotten plenty of revenge?
Revenge is a lifestyle, Sam. You can't just stop revenge. It doesn't work that way. I haven't been this happy in 15 years. I'm gonna run home right now and enter that contest. I'm gonna win, and I'm gonna get to have dinner with the mayor and the governor, not you, and you're gonna lose, and you're gonna have a desk job. It's that simple.
Colton, it doesn't have to be this way. I mean, Hazel.
As Colton sprints off, Sam grabs his bike pump and starts pumping up his tire faster than he even knew he could. No longer is the most important thing to finish pamphleting at 30 more churches. No way. It's funny how what's most important in one's life can change entirely from 1 minute to the next. Sam needs to get home immediately to work on his pitch so he can enter the competition to win the dinner with the mayor and the governor for having the best new product. it's the chance of a lifetime, and his nemesis, who just sunk his truck in a ravine and got away with it, is trying to beat him. And this country does not reward self-pity at all. Just like a whale, you have to breach for the stars. Sam mounts his bike to get going, but what's this? Something is stuck on Sam's shoe. Oh, it looks like one more fortune.
You are going to have some new clothes.
Perhaps wishing to have not gotten the same exact fortune twice, but also probably realizing the process of writing fortunes is probably automated at this point and they can't all be different ones, Sam gets back on his bike and heads for home. He'll enter that contest so he can get the ear of the mayor and governor, and who knows, maybe even weasel his way into politics. Because that's what salesmen do. They keep moving forward. With each step towards the horizon, or mile biked away from the other horizon behind them, or with each email sent out or fan mail opened up and hung up onto the basement wall with concrete fasteners, or with each book sold or enemy made, they don't look back. They can't. They can't afford to. Now, close your eyes as this first part of Sam's salesman journey comes to a close. Focus on your breath and on my voice. And on my breath. Visualize with me as Sam approaches some skateboarders out in the street, skateboarding on some cool homemade ramps and grinding rails. They're 100 feet away. Now 80. Now 50.
Hey, look out! I'm gonna hit that jump!
The confused skaters make room as Sam lines up his bike with the jump. It's a tall one, probably a 2.5 footer, and here he is, now 25 feet away. 15 feet. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0! Whoosh! A pamphlet flutters away off his bike basket as the skaters watch Sam get over a whole second of airtime off this huge jump with their jaws completely dropped. He sticks the landing and the skaters are super impressed. The guy who looks like the leader of the skateboarding crew catches the fluttering pamphlet before it hits the ground, and you can tell he's totally gonna open it up, that his interest has been piqued just from the flap alone.
Yeah!
Sam's shadow has reappeared, and it's lengthening. It's getting longer and longer and longer. High noon has come and gone. Like a nighttime possum that's retreating back into its home in a hollow stump after just scooping out some garbage for a couple minutes.
That was episode 5 of Birth of a Salesman called Sam Distributes Pamphlets. Cody Maloney was played by Colin Sins. Colton Caldwell Boone was Josh Ingersoll. Officer Brink was played by Dustin Bronson. Sam Robertson played himself. Dan Dukic narrated, produced, and did the music and sound design for the episode. This is the end of season 1. If you've enjoyed listening to Birth of a Salesman, please share it with a friend. Bye-bye.